You are listening to Retro TV, a podcast about the wonderful world of nearly forgotten television. Iconic intro to any sitcom. I think everyone will know right away what that is, even if they didn't read the title of the episode. My name is Mark, and you're listening to Retro TV. I am on today with Kim. How are you, Kim?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me to discuss one of my favorite shows of all time.
I thought it was Unsolved Mysteries.
Well, it's up there.
But you gotta laugh. Sometimes you have to laugh.
Oh, seriously.
For those who may not know, Kim does a podcast called with me called Unsolved Mysteries Rewind. You can look it up on stillunsolved.com or just look for us in any podcast delivery system.
Yeah.
Unsolved Mysteries Rewind. So I love Lucy. Mm-hmm. Now, I watched the wrong episode. I went for your first choice, or I started it anyway. Mm. And I didn't realize until last night that I had completely clipped and done research for the wrong episode.
Oh, my God.
I did the freezer.
That's one of the best episodes.
Is it really? You know, I watched this. I was talking to my wife about it. We watched this as kids, and we loved it as kids. Not, you know, separately, of course. But we didn't know each other as children. So we... But this was, you know, I Love Lucy was everywhere when I was a kid. There was some type of big resurgence in the late 80s for, I guess, 1950s sitcoms. Honeymooners was big again. I Love Lucy. My Three Sons, even though My Three Sons came a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, there was this humor that kind of I feel like I grew up with I Love Lucy in a very similar way than maybe my mother did, you know. It's
interesting.
I kind of got the humor of the time through I Love Lucy, or at least I think I did. So why don't you talk a little bit about I Love Lucy and why you love it? And
well, it's interesting that you say watching it as a kid. I remember only seeing one episode when I was a kid and I was like sick and I was upstairs in my parents' bedroom and they had a TV and it was like the only thing on. So that's my first like I Love Lucy experience. I didn't get super into I Love Lucy until I was like a little housewife when I was married and I was like a zany getting into hijinks and stuff. So it was right up my alley. But like, Lucille Ball is such an icon. First of all, she is gorgeous.
Yes.
But she, this is the first television show to feature an interracial couple with Lucy and Desi. She is the first female head of a production company. She is the first pregnant woman to play a pregnant woman on the show. Like, she was groundbreaking. And Desi Arnaz himself was a super genius about this. He had his hand in a lot of the production. It is the first multicam sitcom because Desi like invented that premise. It's the first show.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's the first show to ever feature reruns. And it's because she was giving birth to her kid and he was like, oh, well, people will probably watch the same one over again. So that's the first time. So Desi was a genius.
And it's a trend. It's a process that they use today. I mean, we see it in almost every sitcom. You get like the three camera shot.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I love Lucy too because it's kind of like almost watching a play because we do have a live studio audience there. They never take out bloopers, and there are some huge bloopers in the show. And I don't know. It makes me all warm and fuzzy inside. I love Lucy.
Now, was this shot on a set?
Yes.
Of course, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I noticed all these little weird things about how a house would be designed in 1954.
I know.
You know, like that it just wouldn't be appropriate. Like little things, little stupid things I noticed from a design standpoint, like power switch, you know, like the outlet. It's not centered. There's molding that's on the walls. It's not kind of perfect, you know, and these are, you know, this is a wealthy couple. So
this is a wealthy couple, but Fred and Ethel are almost slumlords. Like, they never fix the place up. It's falling apart.
They're loaded, though. They have to be, right?
Ricky and Lucy do very well for themselves. You know, Lucy's always on a budget, but they have money. But Ethel and Fred, he's such a tight wad. And joke is she only always has like one dress and, you know, he won't spend any money.
Yeah. Now, there's a big age difference here. William Frawley, who plays Fred, Merce, he was born in 1887.
I know.
He's entering the world of Little House on the Prairie there.
Seriously. Yeah, no, he was so old. And Ethel, who Vivian Vance, is only 2 years older than Lucy, if you believe Lucy's birthday, which I do not because she is known to lie about her age.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of controversy with Vivian Vance. Well, I remember they said that they wanted to bulk her up for the role. They wanted to add weight to her so that it would be an ongoing gag. I think Vivian Vance is also a beautiful woman.
Yes.
She has, you know, in her own right. But of course, you know, there's something about the Lucy character that's zany and crazy that you, of course, you know, she's the one that you kind of look at as the glamorous of the two.
Absolutely.
And it's meant to be that way, of course.
Yeah, exactly. But also, I have to say, the older I get, the more Vivian Vance to me is the unsung hero of I Love Lucy. Like
I felt that way with this episode. I was like, you know, I really enjoyed her on the screen. Not to say I didn't enjoy watching the Lucy character. It's just there's something about her. She brings a lot to the table, and she really seems very well put together. Actually.
Yeah, and this is an Ethel-centric episode. We're talking about Ethel's birthday.
Yeah. I'm going to play the opening scene, which basically sets up the entire show. And there are a few... I had a problem clipping the show because the entire thing is very, very listenable, I guess. Mm-hmm. There's so many jokes. And I found myself laughing out loud, which is something I don't really do with today's sitcoms. Not to get on a soapbox here. But we're missing a lot of actual jokes nowadays. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of gags and jokes that I think maybe people forgot. You know, sitcoms are supposed to be funny. And they're not supposed to be just, you know, a reason to sell Snapple or something. But, here we go. Also, it's very 50s. I mean, she has the phone that's the, you know, rotary dial and the coffee table with the fold-up sides and, like, the porcelain ducks or whatever they are that everyone's thrown away at some point. So much 50s stuff here. It is ridiculous, but it is legitimately 1954. This November 29th, 1954. So this was right after Thanksgiving, going into the big shopping season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you commented on Lucy's pants.
Yeah, she was like the first woman in her town to wear pants because she had gotten in like a car accident and it was just easier to go over her cast. I guess she wore these like satin pants. And so she often wears pants on TV and it's like, ooh, like, aren't we progressive?
Yeah. And she does wear dresses as well.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I recall there being another lead that was wearing pants. Without really, I mean, maybe it was a controversy back then.
Not around this time. I know it was a huge controversy. I mean, not around this time was there another lead wearing pants. I know it was a big thing that Mary Tyler Moore brought pants to the masses in the Dick Van Dyke Show. And that's like 10 years later.
Now, you know, keep in mind, this episode aired 66 years ago. You know, that is really, really... the time between now and this airing is the same time that William Frawley was in this episode and his birth in 1887.
So, oh my gosh.
Yeah. That gives you like a really kind of an interesting representation of, of all of this. Wow. He was born 130 years ago. Crazy. So, here's the setup. By the way, I love Lucy's screams. There's no one who makes me laugh more from a reaction, and everybody has tried to duplicate it, and they failed, I would say 90% of the time.
Oh, yeah.
Ethel, what's the matter with you? Are you crazy or something?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sneaking in on somebody like that?
Well, I wanted to be sure Fred wasn't here before I came in.
Well, for heaven's sake, why?
I want you to help me with something.
What?
Well,
I don't know whether I mentioned it or not, but I got a birthday coming up this week.
So it's her birthday.
Yeah, it's her birthday coming up, but she's afraid that her husband forgot. So she's kind of enlisting Lucy on her scheme to tell Fred that it's her birthday, which is an interesting role reversal because usually Ethel is the accomplice to Lucy's schemes.
Yeah, I feel it's weird. At first, I was feeling bad for Ethel, but then I just thought, you know, she's just I can't explain. She seems in control in this whole episode, even though it kind of goes a little haywire.
Yeah, no, she's really, amazing.
Yeah, she really is, and she delivers all the jokes so well.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that this was my single favorite joke in the entire episode.
You know, on second thought, Ethel, maybe we better keep Fred from finding out it's your birthday. No, I'd rather have a terrible present than no present at all. You're right, it's not the gift that counts, it's the lack of thought behind it.
So it's a funny little...
Totally.
It's a good joke, you know, it's not bad. So they come up with a scheme to talk about it over dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And Lucy is dressed in a beautiful outfit.
She's oh my God, like pearl adornments up the sleeves and on the collar. She is, they, and both the men are in ties. And keep in mind, they're having dinner at their best friend's apartment, like, who lives next door.
You know, her hair is done. Everything is perfect, you know. What I find so strange about this also is there's, at least I couldn't find any color photographs of some of these outfits.
Oh, I mean, have
we don't
some.
Know if this is red or green.
Yeah, no, I have a bunch of color photographs of these dresses, so I can send them your way.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious, at least for this one. And later on, we see a couple of things. I kind of wish we saw color. I don't want to see a colorization of I Love Lucy because I would rather never see color again. But if it was an actual color photograph, I would find that very interesting. I really hate those colorized things.
I know the Christmas special. Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So they're eating. They're trying to drop hints to Fred.
Yeah, they're like, somebody's birthday's coming up, and Ricky's like, oh crap, it's Lucy's.
I love that. I'm gonna play that. But I do want to mention Ricky is 37 years old here, the youngest of the cast.
Mm-hmm.
And I love. Desi Arnaz Jr. Well, Desi Arnaz, I call him Jr. But I love Desi Arnaz Jr. too.
Oh.
Little Ricky.
Yeah, he's in an episode, actually. Desi Arnaz Jr. is not. Little Ricky is Keith Thibodeau.
Oh, well, Desi Arnaz Jr. did grow up to co-star in Automan in the 80s. I don't know if that ever came onto your radar.
No,
I know. A computer programmer who designed an entity. And that takes upon its own life called Automan.
Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Not really. It's funny. It's a funny show from the '80s. But here we get kind of a classic Ricky joke, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Just seems like everybody in the neighborhood is having a birthday. Let's see, who else do we know that has a birthday about this time?
Could I have another cup of coffee, Lucy?
You know, I have the strangest feeling that someone we all know and love has a birthday coming up very soon.
Ricky's eyes go wide.
Someone's going to get clobbered if he doesn't remember.
Excuse me, please.
Want some sugar, Fred?
All right.
Cream?
All right.
So Ricky comes out with this beautifully kind of ordained...
Happy birthday, sweetheart!
This beautiful gift, and we do find out it's chocolates, and it's his reserve gift.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, what?
You thought I'd forgotten, eh?
My birthday is months from now.
Huh? She was talking about Ethel's birthday.
Oh, Fred, you know it all the time.
See, Fred's not so bad.
No.
I thought this was the best of the Freds. Fred was, he did his best in this, and he actually had a better idea that than Lucy did.
Mm-hmm.
So there's basically a back and forth. We learn that Ricky has a reserve gift for its chocolates that are about 3 years old, and they're basically there in the event of missing any type of... event. Do You guys remember events, right? You're big on events.
Yeah, well, our anniversary is my husband's birthday, so it is real easy for him to remember.
Yes. I don't know. I guess I don't recall ever forgetting a big event. It's important. These are things that are... But we have this back and forth, and we see a strange moment in the kitchen. Lucy's kind of cleaning up after the dinner party, and Fred sneaks in the back. It seems like things are going to go in a different direction. Like, I thought, you know, nowadays it would be like this would be the sordid affair of the neighbor.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, could you tell me about this apartment? Because this isn't an apartment anymore, is it? Or is it a house?
This is an apartment. They don't move into a house until the last season. But this is the second of their three houses that we see. They have one tiny little house, and then the one above them has an extra bedroom. It's a little bit bigger for when they have the baby.
Now, I've been in dozens of Manhattan apartments, large and small. I've never seen one that has a back door. So I don't understand where Fred is coming from.
Yeah, well, he's under them. There's a back set of stairs that they go to, like, take the garbage out. Because we see the back door from Ethel. Ethel and Fred are on the ground floor. Lucy and Ricky are on the third floor. They were on the second floor. And then we see, like, all the garbage cans and stuff like that when, Ethel chases off a hobo at some point.
You know, Lucy's looking out the door. She hears something outside the kitchen window, and I thought that this was going to be another gag where she's getting super afraid the way she did with Ethel. Because it would be just kind of funny, but maybe it was intended to be that way, and they just thought, all right, let's just get this done. But here it is.
Fred.
Now, where's that little old leaky faucet?
At this hour.
Well, it was on my mind.
So he tells her, basically, look, I'm going to give you some money. And please go and buy a gift for Ethel. Yeah. She wants a toaster.
This is like a super rare, sweet moment from Fred to Ethel. Fred is like, that old battle axe. Oh, I hate my wife. Like, he usually is like, I wish I never got married. But this, he's actually being really sweet. And he's like, look, everything I get Ethel, she returns. So you're her best friend. I'll give you the money. You pick something out she's going to love.
With the suggestion that she'll want a toaster.
Right, right.
And we do get to see William Frawley shaking a lot. You know, this is something that I think is kind of obvious. We even, it just seems, to me it looked like Parkinson's more, but you were saying he had a bout of, with alcoholism.
He was like a horrendous alcoholic from all the books I've read. I'm not trying to like muddy his name. It's just true. They all were heavy drinkers, but he would like withdraw while they were filming because Desi said, like, if you ever come to set drunk, I will fire you. And so he was like, only when they're filming, he is not drinking. And then after that, it is on. But so you can see him always. He has his hands in his pocket and his whole leg is shaking. Like he's got the shakes.
Now, William Frawley is 30 years older than Desi Arnaz. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, this is a huge generation gap, but I never knew that, but I know that this entire generation of entertainers were very, very, you know, heavy smokers and definitely heavy drinkers, and they were kind of part of that whole Rat Pack thing.
They smoke on the show all the time.
It's like super casual.
Well, it's actually sponsored by Philip Morris. So you were talking about the intro with like the silk sheet and the I Love Lucy heart. That is actually only for syndication. The original intro had these two cute little stick figures, and they come on like hawking Philip Morris cigarettes. Then when it was on in syndication, they were like, that might be a little too controversial. So you are actually speaking to someone who has an I Love Lucy tattoo, and it is the original stick figures from the original intro.
What? You have to, unless it's a super private thing, we'd love to see a photograph.
No, I'll totally post it.
Totally G7, I guess.
Yeah, there you go.
Kids, don't go getting tattooed until you're old enough anyway.
Or do. So, I don't care.
Or do. So this is a little bit of an interaction between, we get to hear about a Broadway show.
Ricky got tickets for? What? Over the Teacups. Over the Teacups? Oh, that's the biggest hit in town. How did he do that?
Over the Teacups, I looked into this. Have you ever heard of this?
Yeah, I know that it was a book, but never a play.
Well, it actually was a play. This is It's a very pretty controversial thing. It only ran a few times, literally. It's referred to as a drawing room comedy, and it was written by Lemire Seaton. It ran in the late 50s, so I don't know if it was a real play when they filmed this, but it ended up being a real play, and it was a sequel to a much more successful play called Under the Raindrop, but it did play at the Old Lux Theater on West 54th Street.
Oh, interesting.
I couldn't find specific dates. I think that although it was on Broadway, I think it was more off Broadway. It was kind of like a trial type of run that didn't really work out, but it was a comedy, which is what's funny because when we get to the end, it doesn't seem so funny. Not so funny at all. So, but yeah, it is one of those things. Lucy sits down talking to Ethel.
Yeah, and she right before this, she had given the present to Fred. Fred tossed it in the hall closet to try and hide it from Ethel. So they're just kind of talking about what they're going to wear to the big show.
Yeah, and Lucy, she sits down on the couch, she puts her feet up and lights a smoke. Mm-hmm. And this is not something that we think is the norm in 1954, right? I mean, this isn't what a housewife is supposed to be doing.
Oh, like,
and I love
her feet up.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know. There was just something about how I'm just going to get comfortable just like anybody else. At my best friend's house. And I'm just not going to ask, can I smoke? I'm just going to smoke.
And where's my baby? I don't care.
Exactly. The most we saw of Little Ricky?
Yeah.
The most we saw of Little Ricky is when Ethel scares her and she drops some of the toys.
It's definitely like children are to be seen and not heard. And I'm sure that's for like child labor laws and all that stuff. But I love how much their life doesn't revolve around their baby. They're like, yeah, we have a baby, but we're still fabulous.
Well, yeah, you just lock them in the room, make sure there's nothing too sharp.
Yeah, exactly.
But smoking was so a part of the culture. And, it definitely was considered so much more civilized. Now, of course, it's a very demonized thing that is known to be pretty bad for us. So, but I do like to see this character with her feet up because it's legitimately, again, from 1954. So, but Ethel finds the gift and Lucy pokes and prods for her to take a peek. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we get the expected reaction. Well, she doesn't get the expected reaction from Ethel. Now, again, this is a gift that Lucy picked up.
Oh, it must be Fred's present to me. How do you know? He always hides them in the closet. Must be something to wear. Ethel, aren't you going to peek inside and see what it is? No, I want to postpone the bad news as long as possible. Ethel, maybe Fred got you something nice this time. Let's look. Well, all right. Maybe if I get the initial shock over with, I can act pleased when I open it in front of Fred.
This is such a visual show. I mean, of course, everyone who's watching this. I'd say a good 60, 70% of these gags are visual. Lucy, of course, wearing a whole different outfit. She's got different earrings on. Jesus. I love it. And it's these kind of loud capri pants.
Yeah, they're like Harlequin print, colorful. You could tell they're colorful. And they have like little mirrors all over them.
This is one that I would love to see in color.
Yeah.
I didn't notice the mirrors until you just brought it up.
Yeah,
that just
hideous.
Adds to the entire thing. But Ethel is just like, oh my God, these are the worst. And Lucy's like, well, I don't think they're the worst. I think, you put a lot of thought into this. But she's just relentless because, of course, she thinks Fred bought the gift.
Ridiculous, they're funny. Oh, brother.
Do you think you could pull off these pants?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I don't know anybody who could.
Lucy could pull these off. She wears stuff like this, which is very funny, I think.
That's true. It is very Lucy.
Yeah.
I'd like to meet the idiot that talked him into this. How do you do?
So she puts out her hand to shake and letting her know that she, in fact, picked it out. She just wanted a toaster.
Wanted a toaster, and Lucy's like, oh, well, I didn't know you were a boring old cow, basically.
And it was like, things get pretty nasty pretty quickly. Yeah. We get the really funny hippie.
Oh my God, the best joke.
What?
I refuse to go to the theater with anyone who thinks I'm a hippopotamus.
Now, I didn't clip the part where she said that, where Lucy says that she would wear them, but she would have to take them in 6 inches. And they're just both like sulking and like looking away from each other. It's pretty hilarious.
You call her that?
No. All I did was intimate that she was a little hippie. But on second glance, she has got the biggest potamus I've ever seen. Fred, give him back those tickets.
Are you crazy? They cost $6.60 apiece.
I don't care if they cost $660. We're not going.
Well, I am.
Well, take somebody else.
Hey, there's an idea.
Oh, no, you don't. There. We offered you theater tickets, and you're going to take them. We're not going.
What?
I have no intentions of going to the theater with someone who thinks my taste is all in my mouth.
So, I just thought this whole thing was really funny. Now, $6.60 isn't so bad, but it was a lot of money back then, right?
You know, that's only $63.05 in 2020 money. I expected it to be higher.
And nowadays,
yeah.
$800 for one ticket.
Seriously. Crazy. But I just love, like, a cardinal rule of I Love Lucy is best friends are never more than one misunderstanding away from just absolutely hating each other. And you see it with the girls, you see it with the boys, you see it with husband and wives. Like, Ricky and Fred have exchanged fisticuffs before. Like, they are just so willing to just be mortal enemies, and it makes me laugh so much.
But don't you think there's a tinge of truth there, especially with women? This might sound a little sexist, but I find, personally, that women will turn on each other very, very quickly.
No, I love that use of this, actually, because I think that I Love Lucy not only has marriage relationships down pat, because I really do think that they have a real glimpse into marriages, but I think that they have female relationships down super accurately. Like, there's this woman who is, like, basically a foe of, like, a frenemy of Lucy's called Carolyn Appleby, and she is just a passive aggressive monster. And when the two of them get together and go back and forth, it's so something that I could see women doing. Like, I have had these conversations with frenemies in the past.
Yeah, it's weird. It is weird. We all have friends who kind of, like, there seems to be some type of, like, ingrained competition. And
yeah, exactly. You know,
and I just have to remind them how I'm winning. Winning.
That's all you can do. But so Fred and Ricky are like, we got to figure this out. I'm not selling these tickets because these are good tickets. So you take two, I'll take two. We'll lie to the girls, say we got rid of them. And then by the time the play even comes around, they'll be friends. They'll forget. It'll all be good.
Now, where did you watch this episode? Do you own them on DVD?
Yeah, I have everyone on DVD.
They're not easy to come by. I just want to let you know that. I mean, unless you purchase them. They're not streaming anywhere that I could find.
Yeah, they only have, like, the best of on Hulu and on Amazon, at least they used to, and that they just pick, because the seasons back then were so long, there were so many episodes, so they will pick, like, the top 10 out of each season and play those. So I was like, no, I want to see everyone, thank you very much, so I bought them all.
No, I think it's a wise investment, and this particular episode I had a hard time finding. I don't know why, out of this entire season. This was the only one I could not locate at first, which, of course, made me panic last night because, of course, I watched the freezer, so which was very easy to find. But, yeah, I mean, the next several minutes, we really don't have too much to talk about because it's all visual for the most part. They go to the play. I think that it's very strange. Have you ever been to Broadway shows? Like if you've seen shows, and
yeah, right? I've definitely seen shows, not Broadway. Right.
Well, but you know, usually there's stadium seating, so you're not looking over people, even back then. So But everyone there is kind of like you're sitting in like a church where it's like everyone's kind of trying to peek around. So I just thought it was kind of strange. And if you look at them all sitting in the audience, everybody is trying, all the extras are trying to get their screen time. And it's kind of funny to see.
Yeah, definitely.
And I can't blame them. I mean, this is at the time. I don't know what else was on that was as big. There was nothing as big. This was its own television.
Yeah, no, I read a stat that said when the show would air and when the commercials would happen, there would be a dramatic drop in water pressure because that's when everybody would get up and go to the bathroom.
I love it.
Yeah, it was so weird. This was like the biggest thing.
And speaking of Broadway shows, I've been to a bunch just because of my location, but I would never in a million years ever go back for the kind of prices that they're kind of going for. Oh my God.
Oh, they're crazy.
You have to take out a loan to just kind of go see some 90-minute show. Mm-hmm. But my cousin is on Broadway. So I do from time to time, well, when Broadway opens up again, he'll send me more tickets.
That's but, right.
He was in Jersey Boys. So he was one of the, yeah. But right now, nobody's doing anything in Broadway. So hopefully that comes back very quickly. Mm-hmm. So they're sitting in the audience and Lucy and Ethel are sitting together fighting over the armrest. It's always kind of funny.
She kind of Lucy kind of like whips Ethel in the face with her stole and they're fighting over the armrest and they're like whisper fighting with each other and everyone in the background's like shh, shh, like we're trying to watch a play here.
Yeah, it's really funny. And there's one guy who I don't know who he is, maybe you do. Mm-mm. Gets physical with them.
Yeah.
And his tie is really short. It's this something about this guy. I have a feeling this is like the sound operator or he worked on the show, maybe business or something.
He's a big old dude.
Yeah. And he's sitting behind them and they're getting loud. So he gets up and he interacts with them here.
Would you please sit down and stop making so much noise?
So they switch seats. It's like in a classroom, you have to separate them.
Right. So Fred and Desi, you know, Ricky are sitting next to each other now.
We start getting glimpses. We start hearing little moments from the play. And I think it's really affecting Lucy and Ethel. And I'll play some of that. Keep in mind, this is supposed to be a comedy.
If only the whole world could learn never to quarrel with a dear friend. And if you do, don't let foolish pride keep you apart. Hold her in your arms. Tell her you're sorry.
So the man gets up and he's crying. Just sit
down. Yeah, he's he's so funny in this episode. And I know most of it's physical, but like Lucy gets up and drops her. She can't find her shoe. So Ricky grabs it and it's that guy's shoe. And, you know, they're fighting over binoculars. So that guy breaks him in half. So that guy is like huge in that scene.
Now, one of the things I could not find, I love this fact that you brought up, is that Lucy's mother was very often in the audience.
Yeah, so a lot of times when Lucy's getting into hijinks, in this instance, it was when Ethel goes to walk to the closet to get her coat and she finds the present. You hear a woman in the audience go, uh-oh, and that is Lucy's mom in real life. Lucy's mom was at every single taping and she would watch it and she would be like so into the scenes.
You know, I'm gonna go to it and I'm gonna see if I can find it really quickly because what we just saw is basically how the entire thing ended. So
yeah, they end watching it like holding hands with each other and they're best friends again until their next little tiff.
Yes.
I've had it anyway.
Uh-oh. Oh, that it sounds like she's mic'd.
Mm-hmm.
She probably is mic'd. It's you know, right up there with Carol Burnett pulling on her ear loop.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. Yeah, she's a staple of every time you hear her take a shot, you know, if you're of age.
Oh my God, I love that. I never heard of that. I love that.
Yeah, but, it's fun.
I love this episode.
It's a good episode. I wanted to pick, like, not one of the super popular, like, you know, Lucy films a TV commercial, job switching with the chocolate and stuff like that. But this one's a solid episode. I wanted to showcase Vivian Vance, you know, so I'm glad that we had an Ethel one. But, I mean, just watching this show makes you want to watch more. Like, no wonder it has been such in the lexicon of pop culture forever.
Right. Funny is funny. And I think that when good comedy is written, you can really kind of go back to it. And it's just, it's always funny. One of the people who that I Love Lucy introduced me to was Harpo Marx. Mm-hmm. And this is when I was very young and I looked into the Marx Brothers and I fell in love with the Marx Brothers. I'm still a tremendous fan of the Marx Brothers. And that opened my eyes to Charlie Chaplin, Steve Reeves, I think his name is. No, George Reeves, who plays Superman, was also on this. Yeah. And you got to look into the history. I think when you watch I Love Lucy, you're really looking at a lot of television, early television history. And I just think if you don't know I Love Lucy, then you're really, really missing out. Also, the prints are beautiful. Like, they really kept the quality of the episodes consistent. Mm-hmm. And they really look beautiful. They're beautiful transfers.
Yeah, and it's interesting because these are actually East Coast feeds because there's West Coast ones available, which are horrible for some reason. They're super blurry. The quality is not as good because they had to, like, record it from that recording, from what I understand. I don't know. I've read every single book there is about I Love Lucy. Like, I am an aficionado, if I do say so myself. But I find it so interesting. I find Desi such a brilliant guy. And of course, they had their issues. They were getting divorced while they were on this show. So it's like, there's some tension backstage. Vivian Vance and William Frawley hated each other, but I just love this show so much.
Yeah. I mean, we see similar kind of things being said in the Honeymooners relationships with the couples there. Mm. It's funny because these both, you know, Honeymooners and I Love Lucy both take place in Manhattan with two very, very different demographic of people,
mm-hmm.
you know, working class and entertainment. So I love it. I think this has opened my eyes to go back to it because I don't remember any of these episodes.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
I just remember the big ones like Harpo Marx and Superman.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But I think I will go back and check it out. There are a lot of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But Kim, thank you so much for taking the time to hop on here and review this episode with me.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine. I could not be more flattered to be talking about this particular show.
Thank you for listening to Retro TV. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider subscribing and leaving us a review. See ya next time.